Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have worshiped and we have given thanks tonight. You want to say good evening to someone? Just welcome them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it's so good to see you. How was your day? Can you just ask for responses? I believe our city is getting better and better. Our streets are getting better and better. Lagos traffic is getting better and better. Amen. Everyone watching us online, welcome to our beautiful exchange service. It's a delight to have you join in our service tonight. We're running a series in 2024, which is God and the Family. And so we're just happy that you are able to join us tonight. We've done about 2-3 sessions of teaching. You can listen to it on our podcast. Just click on Lighthouse NG. It takes you to the various social platforms where you can get to listen to what we have done. Tonight, I just do like a recap of what we have done, and then we have an interactive session. The Bible says, it's not the hearer of the word that is blessed, but the doers. The whole essence of bringing God's word is that light is shed upon our hearts, and then we can act on the word and we can apply the word where necessary. So thank you for joining in our service tonight. Some of our brethren are here live, and if you're joining online, just still make it a day. In the world that we live today, there is need to constantly hear the word of God. The Bible says faith comes, Romans 10:17. So it means faith can go. So it comes. And the only way it comes is by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Not by the word of doubt, not by the word of disappointment. There are many things by just looking out physically that can discourage our heart. But faith comes. The God kind of faith comes only by one means, by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And hearing, you read, you meditate, you study, and then you also listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as it begins to compare scripture with scripture, and then you are able to ask him for grace. That's where prayer comes in. Grace to act and do the word of God. Thank you again for being part of our spiritual journey. So tonight, we look at what where we left off on Sunday. I want to do a bit of recap. Earlier on, we were led through the prayer session. You know that the life of the believer is the life that depend upon the word of God, the spirit of God, depend on every word from the mouth of the Lord. And I realize also that even though that's the way God designed it legally, but vitally, there is still a gap between what God has said to us as believers and the reality of the lives that you and I are living. And so on Sunday, we made an introduction, and I want to read from that place tonight in Ephesians chapter 2, was talking about God. He made us to be alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We once walked in the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air. He said, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we have conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the other. So it's possible to, having experienced salvation, it's possible for the believer who hasn't had his or her mind renewed to still continue in the old. It is possible to still live life based on the patterns of this world. And that's why Paul had to write in Romans 12:2, he said, see, this is what I want you to do. God helping you. He said, take, in the Message translation of Romans 12:2, take every day, your sleeping, your waking moment, put it before God as an offering. It's very easy to be dragged into the prevailing mindset. For example, how the marriage should be. And we're looking at something critical on Sunday. How, by simply, if we can all trace back the where we lived while growing up, the people who serve as authority over our lives, the way they conducted their businesses, by just growing up in, for example, the first 7 years of our lives, those things that we pick from them, they have shaped our life, whether consciously or unconsciously, they have shaped them for either good or bad until this time. I'm not going into demonic oppression or demonic influences, no. It's just the practical way. Because if you somebody raised you, the tendency is that their lifestyle rubs on you. The tendency, the way they speak, how they speak, how they respond to the issues of life, it's very easy. So Paul was writing, not Paul. Yeah, Paul was writing. Is it Paul? Yeah, to the Ephesians believers. He said, well, we have been saved from all these things, but it's still possible. This was the way we were living before. So I want to read verse 6 now. He said, but God, Ephesians 2:6, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us to be alive. And then he caused us to be seated. So it's possible that legally we are seated. But in vitally, it's possible that some of the things that our culture, tradition can enter into our lives, and we leave our legal status and we are living in the realms of the vital status. So it can be ego, it can be pride, it can be unforgiveness. And some of these things, the way it impacted our life, it has even caused trauma for many people. Even now that they have grown into adulthood, they are not sure of where to leave, whether to leave those things behind. I remember, in preparing for this, something occurred to me. I don't know, let me say this, but I know that some of us in this room will probably identify with it. I know that the social media has taken over our lives, really, literally. But for some who are in this room can identify with it. You know, TV doesn't come up until 4 p.m. And your parents will probably not allow you to watch. The best you can do is Newscap, which is 11 to 11:15 on NTA. So once it's 11:15, even if you don't want to sleep, the television goes on by itself and it shows you some. And it's the day they can do Love Boat, they can do all those funny things and all that. But you can't have TV beyond 11:30 p.m. So for us who grew up at such environment, there is something that we do as small children. So we have children from other neighborhood. We say, let us play daddy and mommy. How many can identify with that? I know the millennials can never. So what is it? They just pick somebody among us and he will be acting daddy. So he will sit down somewhere and then be giving command. Go and fetch water, go out. And literally, we acted the way our daddies, we talk in, within the household. And then we put leaves and all that. All those things that we play, they are just things that we picked up from that environment. How many of us can identify with this? That only daddy hits the ties of the cotton or turkey. But the truth is that as we are adults now, I think the smaller children should be the one eating the ties of the turkey. I mean, these are things that were picked up. Daddies has special plates, special forks, special spoon, special. So God help you, you use any of it, they say, we will report you to daddy. And if care is not taken, those are the things we also bring into our own adulthood life. Can I have an amen tonight? Ordinarily, I mean, in someone like my own home, we have all these china plates and all that, but we never bring them out until there is a special visitor. That person has to be very, very special. So, interestingly, I'm just trying to put it in a very practical experience for us tonight, so that by the time we start talking, we will identify with it. Interestingly, some of us have things also in our homes as we speak. That's how impactful this family of origin concept is. Some of us, we have special clothes. So, I mean, that's just the thing. You just don't wear it. If your parents will tell you that it's today Sunday. So you have special occasion. Maybe you are going for somebody's birthday. You are going for, I mean, maybe not everybody has that kind of childhood, really. Some people have been wearing Giorgio Armani since from the womb. But I'm just saying that these are how the environment, some things like, some just, our parents, some of our parents just believe that everything in life is expensive. And if you hold that in your mindset till now, please, you have to let go of it. The question I'm asking myself every day, if people are not buying it, then such companies or such producer of products and services will be out of business. So we have to change. How many of us also are used to this? Your parents, they can just bring, they have money. Higher notes denomination at one point, the other thing. So they just can't like that. They can count 10,000 naira 10,000 times. They are just listening to somebody begging them, daddy, please now, daddy, please now. These are things that, I mean, some people will just, they, you know what they, your parents will say. They say, do I pluck money from the tree? So, consciously or unconsciously, these things impact our life. Even though we are saved, even though we are now new creation in Christ Jesus, we may be walking in those old things. We may see life as being, some people, we have money, but they never give to their family. Are we playing in that space, even as adults right now? Some people, some of our parents, they would rather do things that will benefit outsiders rather than their own family. Are we playing in that same space now? Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So for me, this teaching series is supposed to help us address that. Let's just address it. I mean, before, you see, if those things are normal, giving flower, giving all these things that sometimes all these social media influencers, well, they are not practicing it, but they are telling us to do it. But the truth is that everything we need to run a healthy family is in the Word of God. You know, I didn't say a perfect family, because sometimes we can put pressure on ourselves. And then a lot of people are hypocritical. If you have weaknesses, admit it. And then receive the grace of God and the help of God to walk through those weaknesses. I mean, there is just one thing that I found out. And over the years, every teaching I've had is along this line. Whoever has pride, they are the last person to know that they are proud. Every other person can see it. thing, I haven't seen this guy in a while. But I remember when we were about getting married, he got married at the same time. You know that in customs and tradition, you go for event like that. It doesn't matter whether the parents of your wife, they are younger. This, you must prostrate, I mean, if you marry in this kind of environment. But I remember that the dad of that boy, of that man, said he cannot prostrate for his in-laws. Said because he's a prince. Unconsciously, the person that we know, who is his son, is the same thing. If he enters into any gathering like this, he will just be looking at every one of you. Then in some places, there's another person that we know. They said, prince, don't prostrate for elderly people. You see, you at all. So, but you have to look at it. You have to look. The word of God is, even the Bible says from Old Testament, when you see an elder bow before them, it said because that gray hair on their head is not, they are not carrying it in vain. And when you now see another elder who is with gray hair and is found in the way of righteousness, you have to give honor. I mean, I wish all these young apostles and prophets that are now disturbing us on social media, we read that. He said, rebuke not an elder. It's in the Bible. If you want long life, he says what to do. Can I have an amen tonight? So, let's come back home. So, I mean, let's just talk tonight, because some of these things also, when you look at it in negative context, they have created also trauma. I mean, I have a friend of mine told me this story. Two people are married. Of course, they still have that challenge up to now. But as a teenager, the guy, there are two. So I want to paint this story and this scenario to for you and I to also understand what I mean by this trauma, this family of origin. So as a teenager, Amroba came into the house of the guy, into the household of the guy. And so you know the way they operate. So they locked everybody in one room. And then he had the gunshot. They killed his dad in another room. So his dad was with his mom. So he had a gunshot as a teenager. Now he's married as we speak. But he hasn't gotten over that thing. He hasn't. And then the wife also is from this family. This kind of family who, you know, those kind of family that you have the mother, she's just there. So at age 11, their mother told them that, just go and so. I don't care how you get money. Just make sure you bring money home. If you don't bring money home, you won't eat. So imagine those two people getting married. One of the challenges of that guy today, they said that if the wife is talking to him, just smiling sheepishly, I'm very wicked though. Very wicked though. So the wife knows the boundary. When he begins to hear the guy, I'm very wicked though. So trauma is something. And we can't put it behind. You see, for me, at the end of this series, it's for us to be able to individually, I mean, just take your mind back. And then, if you can, because a lot of the time also, we don't want to talk about these things. So let's eat them, hit the nail on the head, and then receive healing. There's one song from Sunday that has, I don't know how many, if anyone knows the song here. Oh Lord, your tenderness melting all my bitterness. Oh Lord, I receive your love. That's a song for this season. So it's very important. Maybe I should just end it. So tonight, this is what I want us to do. Because sometimes when people share their story and you can hear from other people, it helps you also to be able to walk through a process, a path of true healing. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. We did this last year, I guess, but not maybe into the details. So if there is any one of us tonight, whether you have gotten over or whether you are even going to encourage us that, oh, my family wasn't even the way you described it. Thank God for my parents. This is how they did it. This is how they were able to train us. That will be an inspirational story to any of us. But hey, if you had the true life, and then you are, that's the first category of people. Those who have been very good, you don't have any issue. That's okay. We bless God for your life. That story also can inspire us so that we can walk actively towards it. And then you have this second category of people who had it rough. But God has helped you to overcome it. Your story is also very important to us. It will help us. And then you still have this category of people, you had it rough, you are still going through it, you are not yet out. We also want to hear that story so that one story or the other can complement each other. And at the end of the day, we can all receive healing. And then we can pray with one another before we leave tonight. So we dedicate the next 30 minutes to that. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. There's quietness in the room. I know there is elephant in the room, but let's kill the elephant and let's cut it into pieces. So who wants to start tonight? You have a story. You have an experience. And maybe I should help you in case you don't want to say it is me. Just say, I know someone. All we want is that many other people can receive healing from that story tonight. Anyone who wants to? Okay. The apostle himself.
Good evening, everyone. Yeah, so this is a personal experience for me. I'm proud to be an Egba man. I'm an Egba man. I love my roots.
Can you step out?
So I noticed something while growing up. I'm very close to my dad's siblings because basically I'm the first grandchild, I say. So I didn't stay with my parents for a very long time. I stayed with my grandparents. So I was always picked. About a holiday. There's this, I loved it. Staying with my aunties, my uncles. So I noticed something that three of my aunties and uncles got married to Ondo people. Recently, I just discovered that. So fortunately for me, I got married to an Ondo woman also. So there's something I used to hold on to from Lighthouse. The first 5 years of your marriage is going to be somehow thick. So normal, I went through that phase, but thank God I'm more mature now. So during that phase, you know, we start thinking of things, what's happening. Now I remember that those uncles of mine or the aunties of mine that got married to Ondo people, if you check them now, they are no longer living with their partners. They are either divorced or they are separated. And there was a bit, two of them had serious violence. So at that time, I got conscious while I was in secondary school, staying with them for the holidays. There was one I was staying with every day. Uncle Tyre is going to his office. He's always changing his clothes because they will fight very early in the morning. They will fight. And so I had that mentality, this is not healthy. I have to go back to the place. You know, they love me as they are. So while during the phase of the first 5 years, and I'll be like, I hope I'm not going to be separated from my wife. Yeah. I just kept praying against that, no, that this is not going to happen with me. Ondo. In fact, there was a time I was having a gist with my cousin, who were very close. So there was a phase that we had, and I said, Toyin, do you remember your mom is married? Your dad is from Ondo. Yeah, say that. And to try Ondo. I'm tired. I said, yes. Are they still together? I said, no. I said, and I'm married to an Ondo woman. I said, no, it's not going to happen. We prayed against it. But what I'm trying to say is that there's this mentality unconsciously. So I discovered this, if I say last year, I'm married to an Ondo woman. And there's an Ondo line in my family that's not working out. I said, no, mine will work out. So every time I'm trying to get angry and I remember, no, you can't do this. So while talking to my uncles and I'm like, so I got to understand something. I got to understand something. With due respect to Ondo people, unlike Gidi. No, this is a fact. She's from Ondo, she's my sister-in-law, so I'm trying to apologize. And Egba people, they're proud. So imagine Agide and pride. Man, oh my,
stubbornness and pride.
Yes.
Okay.
So thinking about it, when they say Jebu and some people, Jebu, they like Faji. Ondo people are straightforward. They don't want it. So there will be clashes. So I just told myself, you have to calm down. When the two rods are fighting, it'll be to affect the kids. So most times I keep quiet. She keeps quiet. After talking about this, okay, this is this. And it's been fine. I was making a joke recently that it's been almost 6 months. We've not had a quarrel. And she just laughed. So every time, exactly. Sir, while at the hall, I can't remember the name of the man. He came around, he's a white man. And he said he does this to his wife every time, every evening or weekend. Was there something I said this week that you didn't like? Far back, I was still in, I think I was serving then. So I had that thing in me. So it doesn't work all the time. I'll tell you. It doesn't work. Sometimes I just want to shut down. I don't want to talk. I just thinking I'm helping myself. But I'm a softie. Yeah, I can't put things in my mind. It bothers me a lot. So I'll go up to her and say, did I say something you don't like this week? You know, women said, no. Exactly. So, but what I'm trying to say is that unconsciously we have all this mentality we don't know. So when things are happening, you start exhibiting them. Like, so don't let us dwell on those things. Thank you very much.
Okay. That's a good starter for the menu tonight. Let me also just say one or two things. Number one, Ondo people are not bad people. Yeah, so let's just put if you say Ekiti people now, that stubbornness raised to power two of Ondo people. They will not grieve for anybody. If Ekiti people can, you don't allow them to say it verbally, they put pen to it. And it's with big grammar. So but I want us to learn something quickly from what he said, which is the whole essence of this thing. Just we can do like an introspective thing. I mean, you just have to study your family tree. I know you have a new family, which is the family of God. That's the legal place to be. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. But this other natural family, they have traces. I would rather not say that you are a proper Egba man, because if you keep confessing that to yourself, you may pick up the culture of Egba people. I mean, we had one in the course of this week, that when you say an Egba man steals, they will ask the mother, is it the true son of Egba? But if you say an Egba man womanizes, they said, no, that's the normal thing to do. So you have all these things that are related to certain culture. But our own culture, fine, you are born in that part, your grandparents' parents are from that place. But our own culture is the kingdom culture. I love the way you said it, that consciously, you put that at the back of your mind. And that's what we are asking. Because at the point of when the fire is burning, people just lose it. And once you lose it, sometimes you would have spoken out and it would have gone to the wrong side. And instead of to build up, it will have just actually destroyed. So I love the perspective. And then you can measure your progress. I'm growing, I'm growing, I'm growing. So at the end of the day, it's something, it's a pure work of grace. Because I don't want us to, if we go the other route, I will ask you, all of you, come out. Let's begin to pursue the demon from Mondo, demons from... Let's take ownership of it. It's something within our control. It's something the Holy Spirit has given us power to overcome. And that's the whole essence of this teaching series. Anyone, I mean, you started us out pretty well. This side of the auditorium tonight, where are my ladies? Huh? Ladies, don't share. Okay.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. All right.
Please, we can't see your voice.
Okay, what I want to share is a bit of a concern for me.
Okay.
Of course, I had a very good family growing up. My dad is a pastor. My mom is a pastor. So, but there's another part that I'm concerned about because I'm also about to start a family, and I don't want that pattern to repeat itself. And that's the fact that I'm closer to my mom's family. Like, I'm very close to my mom's family than my dad's family. And there's something happened that caused that. You know, while we were younger, you know, there was this incident that happened. I think they wanted to go for my grandpa's remembrance. That's from my dad's side. And, you know, because my mom's family too, they are very, will I say they are spiritual or will I say religious too, but both together. So she has an elder sister that is also a pastor, so they prayed. I don't know. She now told my mom that they should tell me that me, I should not go. That I have two sisters actually. That if I go there, that they will use my destiny. That there's one woman. That there's one woman in the village that, you know, when I get there, she will touch my head, she will touch me and all of that. And, you know, because my mom too, she's very, she's spiritual too, but of course, she's religious, she's both actually. But of course, she respects that person that also said it. And it might be true, but it created fear in her. And she didn't allow me. I was very mad at her at that time because I had not been to my village, my dad's town before. That was like the first opportunity to go. He told that my sisters would be able to go, but me, I will not be able to go. He said that me, I should go and stay in that mommy's house with her children. They are my cousins. I was watching them travel like this. I was just crying. You know, I was just crying. It was not a funny matter at that time. So, but since that time, I just noticed that I shut myself out too from... So anything that concerns my dad's side, I don't also want to be part of it. You get? Like, so I don't have any relation till today. If I happen to see my cousins from my dad's side, I don't recognize them.
Because I wanted to ask you that how many times have you been to that hometown?
I can't. Even if they say their son name is Adedoyin, I might not be sure if it's maybe the Adedoyin from my own auntie. Maybe they say okay, well, they mention their. In fact, they are my dad's brothers that are alive. It's just two of them that I know, but I don't recognize any of their children. I don't know any of their children. I have not been to their houses, but my mom. I know everybody from my mom's house. The ones that are living in Lagos, the ones that are staying in the village. We are very close-knitted. My cousins, even the ones that are outside the country. You know, we have a group WhatsApp chat. We have a group page. But I don't have any relationship like that with my dad's side. And I feel from that, even till now, my mom still have that mentality. Because, of course, I can't blame her too. My dad also, the dad is an occultic person. You get so money or born anyone and all of that. So he became born again when he came to Lagos, so became a pastor and all of that. So she was scared that if we go there, you know, something would happen. But I always tell her that even it is not even your own Christianity that I'm even to, it's not your own belief that I'm even using to live my life now. That I'm already old enough to, you know, decide whatever it is that I want to do and believe whatever it is that I want to believe. But I'm also scared of that pattern that when I also start my family, like now, I don't even know the people that my children would, I would say, okay, well, this is my dad's family. The only people that I can tell them about is my mom's side. You understand? So that's my concern now.
Okay. So I need someone to speak to it. So when we say trauma, sometimes a lot of us, we think to that extreme, what has resulted into greater thing. But just a singular incident, was spoken, maybe in and out of place, has led to opportunity of building relationships. So I want one or two persons to please speak into that. Let's help him out.
Okay, Josh, good one. And thank God that at least you came to that consciousness, which is good. Number one thing is you have realized that you always have, there are two sides to your family. You have the father side, you have the mother side. And I think as believers, love is the motive of what we do. You have to, since you know now, ask questions. And the social media is a small one. So I fall into your, so Stafumi said I should answer it because you know. I'm not close to any of my father's relatives. I was raised by a widow. And so my dad's family, there are three. My dad is the only male. My other sister died. So there's only one that is remaining, and she's in Ibadan. You understand? I know their children actually, but we are not close. And I can tell you, my cousin lives like Alapere, and I stay in Ogunleye. I don't know where she lives. He tells you. So one thing everybody in this room, as you grow up in the maturity of Christ, you have to take the nature of Christ. I want to say this, maybe not this new generation, African mothers tend to be manipulative. And I say it with all humility and respect. I do not say it to abuse anybody, please. There is that tendency. Is always there. How do I put it? Maybe a way to put it. Sometimes you, okay, the picture in my heart. Okay, Holy Spirit, I think we need to trash this issue. When a child wants to write an exam, your parent can tell you to study hard, right? To pass. You know, some parents buy questions for their exam. Do you know that parent believes that they love that child? How many of you know that? Exam postponed. No, Pastor Yake, no. They do it, those parents do it out of love, but it is not right.
Right, yeah.
Thank you very much. Pastor Yake, the motive from the parent.
No, you can't say that.
It's love.
It's actually, I mean, you don't want your child to go through stress of writing an exam.
Thank you, sir. Pastor Yake, it's actually out of love, but you are demonstrating it the wrong way.
Yeah. Just like you pay your way through for a child.
Exactly. When parents go out of God for a child, yeah, it's actually to help the child to become something like, but the means is wrong.
Yeah.
That's
they're
what
actually
we're
spoiling the
yes,
destiny.
Actually spoiling that child, but to that parent, they don't know. Yeah. So the same thing with mothers. In talking to you, so for example, my mom believes she's a widow, she suffered for us, she wants to have us to herself, and that's the truth. And there's nothing wrong with it. And absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's just perspective. But as I began to have understanding as a man, that's what I'm saying, you have to balance it. Your mom loves you, and that's the truth. What she did was a level of understanding and
to protect you.
To protect you.
Yeah.
There's actually nothing wrong with it. If you understood better, then, and you had, you know, when you're happy, you didn't have freedom. So my grandmother died. I didn't attend because my mother didn't want me to attend. They didn't give me prophets actually. But she said she doesn't want me to attend. She has her reasons. And by the time they tell you, you understand. What I'm saying is, as we grow, love is our motive.
Yeah.
It's
from a pure heart. You reach out to them. So my mom lost her younger sister in December. I was telling Pastor again, I was so ashamed. I don't know the children. So I had to get their number. I was calling them. And from my mom's side, I'm the first grandson. You understand? And I spoke to Okiki. He said he knows me. He said, and he had to say, Debari Michel Damimo. I said, shut up. And I had to do. So I felt it, maybe because my auntie passed on, I felt I didn't reach out to those children. Not that they were asking me for money or anything. Again, a narrative was sold.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
A narrative was sold. But as believers, don't believe those narratives.
As we grow up.
As we grow.
Yeah.
Don't believe those narratives. You are a believer first. No matter what your parent told you. See, that's your own mother, your mom's side of the story. And that's the truth. Your mom could be right, your mom could be wrong. Especially if you are from where I came from. Actually, I don't believe my mother was totally right. I don't believe my auntie was totally right. They all have their shortcomings. Are you with me? So if my mother is trying to talk to me, I say, no, stop it. I relate to this person based on my understanding. And I relate. If my mother is bringing that way, I say, I just kill it. We are first believers. Please, let's understand. And when they begin to tell you that narrative, be able to sieve. You are able to sieve it. When you sieve it, reach out. Your cousins, see, if you are not careful, that generation might not continue. You wouldn't know each other, and I don't think it's healthy. It is not healthy. You have a family in church, praise God, but you also have some family tree that we are teaching. They are related to you. They might not all be believers. They are still your family. It's your duty to pray for them and love them. So I think what you can do is reach out in love. I did that, and it worked. So I check up on them now. How are you? How are you doing? What are you doing? The one that is not doing well, so you need to do this in a place of counseling and all of that. Just reach out in love. And again, please, when our mothers are advising us, please check it. Is it in line with God's word? And if you have siblings that are not of the same mother, it becomes more complicated. That pastor said something on Sunday, and it's not, if you are from a polygamous home, you have to be extra intentional. You will have a competitive spirit, you will not know. You will not. So when you have siblings that you are from same father and not same mother, and you have to go the extra mile to show love. Your mother might be telling you some certain things. Please share it. They are your brother, they are your sisters. Praise God.
Okay, before I say something, if I ask you now, that narrative was sold to you how many years ago? Maybe 20 years, over 20 years ago? The truth is that some of this narrative, if you really, really crack them, some may be 40 years old. Argument that two people have, an incident of or that happened between two people, and that was the basis of cutting up. No doubt, no doubt. Please also don't get me wrong. No doubt there is wickedness in heartly places. I know you will say yes. But the truth also is that we are Christians. We are believers. I will never accept that narrative, even as a young person, that somebody will steal my destiny. But that was what was said in that particular instance. And that was what was responsible for the pullback, even up to this moment. So, let's look at those narratives. But what we are talking tonight is how these things has impacted us, either positively or negatively. Even in the natural life, you need to learn how to draw boundaries around your life. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. I mean, I came from a family where people do stuff. I've mentioned mine. So there are some of the things in my family. That's one of the reasons why I had to change my... I had to research it. So I changed my name. In my village, when people die in the village, my family has a god. The same night that day that person dies, they call the spirit of that person to tell, let them know what killed the person. And that's and it's to them, because it's sorcery, is as accurate as anything. And I kept asking questions, my uncles, and nobody is ready to answer some of my questions. So I went out because I want to understand. I want to understand how things were in this family. And then I came to that conclusion that I will not follow this kind of things in this family because I don't want to end up this way. I have a new family, and so you are able to exercise your authority better. So I'm not disputing that people are not wicked. I'm not disputing that they can't, people are not diabolical. But hey, please, let's remember what he said. We are false believers. And then for those of your cousins and all that, you find out that they might not even be aware of what you are talking about. Sir.
Okay, I just want to respond to Joshua's story. In this 21st century, I want to use myself as an example. I came from a background where we are initiated to going home every December. And up till now, I marry an Aye Kiti woman. I don't know where they call Aye up to this moment. She comes from a family where they don't have anything to do
with Christmas,
with the village. Because their father is a priest, and they just go, a priest cannot go home. And that has become their culture. And now getting married, I realized that my children have this tendency. And again, when you look at the person who happened to be my foster father today, my uncle, who is my mom's younger brother, when you look at the story related to the village, you will think maybe everything that probably is not working as it ought to work is from the village. Like Toro mother is grown up, you know, say, Emo Kobami, Emo Kobami. But one thing I realize is all along the line, the children have this tendency to say they don't want to go. But as a father, I'm just trying to look at how I've been able to do it. This little Tomini knows all my siblings. Oh, my big mommy in Isanlu. Oh, my big mommy in Okenigbin. Oh, my big mommy in Egodo. When we are going up, there's nothing like big mommy. Everybody is mommy. Mommy Oweno. Mommy Yareseli. Mommy Yare. I have almost 20 mommies. And I can sleep in anybody's house. I can eat in anybody's house. But one thing I do, and along the line, I want to speak to men. Because at times we felt like women have their own. But at times, we men, we are not doing enough. Many of us are not comfortable following our wife to their places. Out of all my wife's family, I can give myself the best in-law. I've been to everybody's family. No matter how your house looks like, I can sleep. There are places I will be to, I will sleep on the chair. I identified with her. If I can't identify with her and follow her to that place, and I want her to follow me to everywhere I'm going. Now, it's very difficult. She's not used to going to villages. She's not used to following her daddies to villages. But it is impossible for her to say, I will not follow you to die your small oba. Because at times I go to Ibadan, I can stay 3 days with her mom. Those 3 days is as if I'm on sabbatical leave. It's only when they give me food, as if I'm in a prison, I just eat. Because they will just be doing family catch-up. That even by the time I sleep off, I don't know where she come to sleep, where she come to wake up. But it's a sacrifice of what I'm doing to allow her to have her own. And that's why today, all my children, Toroma was in Oba on Friday. I was taking her out of school. I went to my source. I said, this is my source. It's Sanlu, see, my paternal place. And after leaving Sanlu, I took her to Oba. You can't say, oh, that's my place. But the way I played it, their mom cannot have a say that they will not follow me. Oh, my Toby Lenwe, that is so. Because I follow her to Koto.
Thank you very much. Please. In fact, thank you. Look, don't blame your mom. The fault is at your father's doorstep. It's not your mom. Your mom was not manipulative. You said women, mothers are manipulative. They are not manipulative.
So that's it. That's the fight you want to with that microphone. That's the fight you want to fight us.
That's not the fight. And I like what Pastor Sunday just said. What happens in most Yoruba families, what you have said is not strange. A lot of children are closer to their mom's families and their father's families. There's a proverb they say, I can't tell you, because if I say the proverb now, you... Sir, just hold on, sir. So, what happens most times is that the men don't take the initiative. The men don't take, the fathers don't... Look, I did not go to my village until I was about 12. First time ever. And I say it, I went in the morning, I left in the evening. In fact, I did not sleep there. Because there was, of course, you know all of those things that they say. My father, not for one day, ever said, come. No, the fathers don't take the initiative. That is what it is. It is not that, no. Look, you have to be intentional. You want your children to know both father and mother's side, you have to be intentional. What happens, of course, is that most women are closer to their siblings than the men are. So that automatically just dictates the way it's going to go. So it is not, it may be a pattern, but it's not necessarily a pattern. It's just that people are not intentional. There are families who go home every Christmas, every Easter. For those families, you can't say that you will not know the. But there are places where you don't have such rituals. So if you don't have such rituals, what are you going to do? Put in place such that your children will know both father and mother's side. It's intentionality, pure and simple. It's intentionality. When father's side has problem, mother's side has problem. No side, there is no side that is devoid of problem. None at all. But it is how you, it is perspective, how you choose to look at it, and what you intend to do about it. What do you want to achieve? What do you want to see? Then you get to work. It's as simple as that.
Okay, so let's not concern ourselves with what the old is gone, the new has come. So you've listened to the counsel. Since you are getting married, please be intentional about yours from day one. Eh? I hope you've been convinced and not confused. In Jesus' name. Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First, I will say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for direction. I was looking at PG when he was talking. What about somebody who not close to father's side? Not close to mother's side. I don't know where to start from.
Start from somewhere so that we can be blessed.
I don't want to go so much so that we don't take our time, because it's like I talk too much when I have to talk things like this. So it's actually very painful to me. I remembered when my mom died 7 years ago. We had a meeting. I came from Impeligamosum. My mom gave birth to 5. I'm sure the 13th born. So when we had a meeting, the 5 of us from my mom's side, we had a meeting, and I poured out my mind to my elderly ones, and they didn't even take it serious. Because what I said that day, I remember very well. Like, the only thing that hurts me the most is, let's assume we don't relate with our stepbrothers. We don't even relate. I said it that day, and I told them that the only thing I hope the death of my mom does is to bring us together. Unfortunately, So, in fact, recently an event happened, and my dad was calling. His first child, his son, lost his wife. Like, I'm just trying to... My brother, sorry, sir.
And my dad was like, call him and greet him. One, I don't have his number. And I lied to him because he was calling for like a week consistently and it was really distracting me. I said, "Adi, motipe wajari, pe motikiwon." And that was it. Along the line, the story went, he later realized I didn't call him. And he called me. It was, I didn't know when I changed it for my palace. Yeah. Palace, man, he came to me at 20 years. And I should call him when the wife is dead. I feel like we didn't have a relationship. I felt that hurts him because most of these things are parental issues. They were not children issues. I grew up in Lagos. I told you, sir. If you know Ketu, Brolim, they will know Ketu. My mom stays in Olualogbon. I don't get about this, so that kid, Ilele bus stop, see other side, yeah. That's where the stepmother stays. Sir, it's just 5 minutes walk. Dad was in between. yeah, I came from a polygamous home, but you know, it's as bad as I don't even know. Like, it's just 5 minutes walk. They don't even know where we stay. I don't even know where they stay. And like I said, let's even leave that distance enough between us that we are the same mother. So it's odd, like it's painful. It's painful to the point that I used to tell my wife, like, the only thing my dad can say about me is Shile is peaceful. And the only reason we say that is they've never called him in his life that I had any issue with police or I fought with anybody. I used to tell my wife that my dad can never tell you who I am. My siblings cannot tell you who I am. So anything, because I deliberately made up my mind that my children are not going to use my surname. They'll bear my name. Because I don't even want them to be associated to that life. So because, you know, it's a different perspective. That's why I was trying to connect what Joshua and Biji were saying. Joshua is yearning for me. I'm not even looking for it. I'm being honest. Sir, you know what now makes it bad? Thank God my counselors are here. I married someone who is almost in the same situation. We don't even have a relationship. She also does not have a relationship with her siblings. And she's not even from a polygamous home. And they are just four. So, actually, it pains me. And that's why I said, I've made up my mind that it starts changing from my home. That's because I feel that's the only way I can protect my children. They start building, if it's a new generation, I don't mind from my going forward. Because I'm in my mid-30s. My sister does not know what my roof looks like. Does not know what my sitting room looks like. And this is someone who, when I was getting married, claimed to be in the position of a mother, and like, you must bring your wife and come and see me and pay respect. I got angry to a lot of things, but because my wife spoke and was like, actually, because I told my wife, like, I'm not, all these things I don't, because, oh.
See, I know that we'll continue next week Wednesday by God's grace. I know that we love over some of these things, which is good, maybe to just let out the air. But the truth is that if you pull out that microphone across this room, people have stories. Everyone has stories. Stories that ranges from how people were actually maltreated, how people were placed in some of these families that even our own parents trusted them in court. So, what you said touches my heart. It's painful to me. But that's the reality of maybe not just African families, globally. Because when you hear the story of the whites, I think they are also worse. Than we still have what you can call communal living, but they don't have. Maybe someone is their parents in a is government to evacuate them to old people's home, so they just place a call. Your dad died this morning. Okay. Except he's very interested. That's where we know where they buried the dad. His own life from that age 16 or 18 to the rest. And then in some of their own situation, at 18, if you are still living at home, you'll be paying rent to your parents. So you can just figure things out. There are some things that just are never, you can't put an end into them. So in conclusion tonight, please, I begged on Sunday, I'm still going to beg again. I'm not sure whether we will have healing. I'm not sure yet. But when we have healing service around this, by the time we are wrapping this up, we all need to get healed. We all need to get healed. We all need to begin to see our own lives and then within the context of the family of God. I'm not just saying, when I say the family of God now, I'm not just even talking about church as a lighthouse or Redeem or I'm talking about being settled in God's kind of love. We are perfected, which take away all our trauma, all our insecurities, all our fears. I know people can't even eat in their hometown. And it's like that. So my own parents, I think it took them another 10 or 15 years interval. So the first time after we buried my dad, second time when I was going officially was when we buried my mom. And those two events were plug and play. So everything you need, you just carry, you just plug it, use it, and then you leave. So it's something that when you trace all of us, there are issues. And I'm trusting God that through this series, we will all leave those issues behind. We will embrace this. We are not, we say this among ourselves, Christians don't understand what we have. We don't even understand this love of God, how it is and how it operates. The Bible, we read it, the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth. But are we living in that reality? And I think until we get in there, many of these things will still become like a challenge to us. My prayer tonight for everyone in this room, everyone online, if there are things that has traumatized you up to this time and is still happening around you, I pray for healing. I pray that the balm of Gilead will pour forth his healing upon your heart. I pray that you begin to see a new perspective. This thing that we are talking about tonight, it affects people. There are people who can't trust men, and that's the main reason why they are not married. There are people who can't trust women. That's the main reason. Just because of one incident at one point in their walk of life. I came across a video today. breaks my heart. The girl grew up in Ajegunle and was raped at the age of 11. As we speak, in her 30s, she's not married yet. And she said that she's not going to get married. That each time any man comes close to her, that age 11 experience played out. And his parents, you know how those things are. One funny uncle somewhere, one funny cousin somewhere who lived with them. So, and you know he's so dicey. I don't know why it is. Most parents don't believe that such uncles are pedophiles. So, more like it happened under their nose. But, hey, she could not be protected. So, and that's the reason. So, she doesn't see any man covering her, any man protecting her. But, hey, there is a bomb in Gilead. And that's what we are trusting for through this season. Each one of us, we just come to that point that we are perfected in his love, and then he will use us to do something new, not only in our own lineage, but even in our own generation, such that our society can be a better place to live in. God bless you. Have a lovely evening.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org for more.